Take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to the book of Genesis, the third chapter of the book of Genesis. We also are going to be turning over to the book of John, Gospel of John, the eighth chapter. Genesis 3 and John, the eighth chapter. You will please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the tree of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. I want you to notice in that verse of Scripture, that is a lie. Satan told a lie. And he said, For God doth know that in the days ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's another lie. He is saying there in the Scriptures, that you'll be as gods and you can choose for yourself what is good and what is evil. That's a lie. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Over in the book of John, the eighth chapter, let me read verse number 42. Eighth chapter, John, verse 42. Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceed forth and come from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Let us pray. Father, I thank you again tonight for the wonderful Word of God. Thank you for the privilege, Lord, of reading the Word tonight. And once again, this preacher asks you for the power of God to fill me with thy Holy Spirit. And Father, for the wisdom of God that I need to preach. And Father, for the clarity of mind and thought and speech that I might be able to preach tonight with clarity. And Father, also then we pray for an attentive spirit. Lord, that each and every one of us tonight will be attentive to the message. And Father, not only will we be attentive, we will hear absolutely with our ears what is said. But more important, in the book of James, you said we ought to be not only hearers, but doers of the Word of God. We pray for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We've been taking some subjects from the book of Proverbs, some subjects that God deals definitely with in the book of Proverbs. We talked about wisdom, we talked about fools, we talked about laziness, and tonight we're going to talk about lying. I believe it's a very important subject. God has a lot to say about lying. And we're living in a time, folks, and I believe that you can understand this. I don't know how old you are or how far back you can remember all these things, but I know this even since I was a boy, and that ain't been too many years. I was a boy that I remembered that a man's word was meant something. And I mean, it just simply, if you gave your word, you did it, or you was considered with this group of people who just did not keep their word. I remember my daddy looking at me many times, and us boys as we growed up. And he would look at me and he'd say, Bobby, he'd say, if your word's no good, you're no good. I still hear him say that. I had his picture out today looking at it. I was looking at our family. And Marguerite, my aunt, had passed away, and I was just kind of looking at some of the pictures we had of all the folk, and I was looking at my dad and my mom, and it reminded me as I was getting ready to preach this, I remember my daddy looking and saying, "If your word's no good, son, you're no good." I've heard that so many times, and I thought, you know, that's true. Man's word ought to be worth something. Man's word ought to count for something. And so I got to thinking about it, and down through the years, and certainly, and let me say this, certainly we have a lot of people in this old country whose word still is good. Now, I know that, and they mean what they say. And I'm talking about folks, I'm not just talking about something has happened and something come up and they just absolutely could not do what they said. I'm talking about just direct lying. Okay? I'm just talking about direct lying. And we've got a real problem in America. We've got politicians that lie to get elected. And thinks that's all right to get votes. We've got preachers that lie about their attendance. Amen. You didn't know we had 300 here last Sunday, did you? Well, we had 160 in this service. We went up and had a nursing home service, and I figured there was about 140 residents up there. I just counted them all. They had a speaker in every room, so we had 300 last Sunday. Amen. You know what? We need to get off of that stuff. I want to have 300. I want to have 400. I'd like to see, because not for me, not for anything else, except I'd like to see it for Jesus. I'd like to see it for Him, you see. But there's no use bragging and lying about all those things. That's silly. And yet we find that in Christianity today. We find Christians lying. We find, you know, just seem like that it doesn't bother them at all to tell an untruth. Well, I want to deal tonight a little bit about some things, what God says about lying. It's an important subject, okay? We're talking about our character. Amen. What are we as a people? Is it easy for us to just simply tell a lie? And you know, you've always heard these little old, there's white lies and there's black lies. But I don't think God knows anything about that. I don't think He's got that in His Word anywhere. And I don't think He figures it that way. You understand what I'm saying? I believe that God looks at the heart and sees why we lie. And we ought not to do that. First of all, I want to look at the causes of lying. And first of all, I want to eliminate God. Now, I don't have to eliminate God. He's already eliminated Himself. But in the Word of God, Numbers 23:19 said, God is not man that He should lie. The Bible says in Hebrews 6:18, it is impossible for God to lie. Now, we can eliminate God right away when it comes down to the cause of lying. Amen? We know it's not His fault. He has nothing to do with it, you see. And so we know it's impossible for God to lie. So we know that it has to come from somewhere else. And we found in the Word of God in the book of John that I just read to you in verse 44, we found out that the father of lies was old Satan, the devil. He's the father of them. We read back in the book of Genesis, you remember, where he lied. He had no problem lying whatsoever. Understand? And he even got Eve in on the picture, because Eve lied also. She said, God said that you can't eat of that fruit and you can't even touch it. She added to the Word of God. She was lying. That was not true. God did not say that. He said, you're not to eat of it. But Eve came along and wanted to make God look bad. He said, he don't even want us to eat of it. I mean, he don't even want us to touch it. And so Eve come along and picked up on what Satan was doing. Satan was lying and Eve picked it up. Ever since Eve picked up that habit of lying, human beings has had the habit of lying. And we've got to be very careful. We're Christians. We're different people. No use for us to lie. Folks, ain't no do any good to lie whatsoever. Amen? Just tell the truth. Just tell the truth. If you don't want to tell the truth, just shut up. I mean, just keep still. You don't have to talk. You know, I've told you before. You don't have to answer every question ever asked you. Just because someone asks you a question, you don't have to answer it. Many times, I just look at people. I just grin at them. And they get all flustered. They don't know what to do. I don't want to answer the question. Maybe it's none of their business, you see. What I'm saying is, you do not have to answer every question that someone asks you. You get intimidated by that. Somebody will ask you something, you're intimidated, like, I've got to answer this question. You don't have to answer it. If it's a loaded question, you don't have to. I've used the illustration before. You know, you can ask, if someone asks you the question, do you still beat your wife? How are you going to answer that? You say no, that means you used to. If you say yes, that means you're still doing it. I mean, you can't win that thing. Amen? So what I'm simply saying is, you do not have to answer loaded questions. And let me say to you, people will load them. and they'll bring them to you. So anyway, that might help you, you see. In other words, just tell the truth. And if you don't want to answer, you do not have to answer a question. Amen? All right, so we know it's not God. We know the old devil is the father of lies. Now we're going to go back to the book of Proverbs, and this is kind of where our message will remain. We're going to look at what God says in the book of Proverbs about lying and the causes of lying. Let's look back in the book of Proverbs, the 14th chapter, please. 14th chapter, and let us look at the 5th verse. A faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. Let's look down in verse number 25 of that same chapter. And he says, a true witness delivers souls, but a deceitful witness speaketh lies. Now, God tells us there's something about a person that lies, or something about them. And the fact is, they're an unfaithful people. Because, and I'm not just talking about faithfulness to church, I'm talking about faithful in their Christian life. God says a faithful witness will not lie. Do you know unfaithfulness to God and in your Christian life will cause you to lie? The Word of God says so, because He says a faithful witness will not lie. But He said a false witness will utter lies. You know, you and I need to be faithful in our Christian life so we'll have a true tongue. We need to be really faithful to God and faithful in our Christian life and do right and live right and love God like we ought to, so that it'll help our tongue to speak truth. Just like tonight, you're here hearing about the subject of lying. If you're a faithful Christian, you've come to hear the Word of God. You've come to hear about it. When you go from this place tonight, you'll know some things that God has said about lying. You know what that will do? That'll help you not to lie. I have a habit that I do that helped me years ago, and when I say these things, you know I'm still flesh. You've recognized that. It's all right. You can say that's true. I'm still flesh. But there's just some things that we need to do that's helped me. What I do is this. When someone asks me, a lot of times I'll stop and think before I answer. You don't have to retort out with a word immediately. Now, if you know the answer immediately, that's fine. But think about it. Stop and think before you tell some big whopper. Stop and think about it. Stop and think what was asked you. How are you going to answer it? Are you going to answer it truthfully? Brother Ross, how many did we have this morning? Well, I had to stop and think about that. It wasn't 300, folks. It was 161, I believe. Is that right, Sister Jean? I believe it was, I can't find her. But anyway, there she is, 161. You know, if you will stop and you will say, instead of saying evangelistically speaking, and just simply tell the truth. Stop before you answer and think. That helps you. It will help you to do that. So you don't have to just immediately blurt out with an answer. Stop and think and answer that question. But God says being a faithful person will help you not to lie. A faithful witness will not lie. Look at Proverbs 25. Confidence, and we just talked about a faithful individual, and this is 25th chapter of Proverbs, and the, excuse me, what did I say? 25th chapter, 19th verse. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. I love the way God puts things, don't you? You know, there's two things about a broken foot, a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. One of the things is it's going to cause pain. Amen? I mean, it's going to hurt. I just had a spur on my heel here a while back. Some of you folk has told me that you can sympathize or have compassion on me because you had that same thing. It hurt. And you get a foot out of joint, it's going to hurt. Second thing is, it's not useful for what it's intended to be used for. So when you've got a foot out of joint and a broken tooth, you've got a situation where there's going to be pain. And there's going to be a situation when you can't use that for the intended purpose that you should be able to use it for. Now what God says in verse 19, confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. An unfaithful person is not, you cannot have confidence in them when trouble comes. Listen, folks, you'll find out who your friends are when trouble comes. You'll find out, because you'll find out that the unfaithful person, the person who does not live that faithful life for the Lord, is an unfaithful individual. You'll find out that you can't have confidence in him when trouble comes. You might as well forget it. They'll be gone. You won't see them. I mean, you'll think they've taken a vacation. You understand what I'm saying? So God is saying here that unfaithful, and he puts them together, the unfaithful person is a person who will tell lies. A faithful witness will not tell a lie. And you cannot have confidence. In other words, you can't believe what an unfaithful person says. You cannot trust them. They're liable to tell you anything. I don't want to be known as that, do you? I want to be known as someone who tries and does his best to keep his word. Tries to do what God wants me to do. I think you want to be known for that kind of a person. But God says you can't have confidence in an unfaithful person. A person who is not faithful, there's no use you having confidence in them, because they're just like a broken tooth. They're going to cause you a lot of pain. They're just like a foot out of joint. You're not going to be able to use them for the intended purpose that they should be able to be used for. So lack of faithfulness will cause us to not tell the truth. Also, we find in Proverbs 26, verse number 24, we find also God says that hatred will cause us to lie. And you say, Brother Rawls, that sounds odd, but listen to what the Word of God says in verse 26, chapter 26, verse number 24. He says, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. Do you notice he says, if there's hate in your heart, you're going to have deceit in your lips and on in him. Listen to verse 24:5. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart. God says a person who has hate in his heart, don't believe him when he's trying to tell you something. Just don't believe him. Don't take his word as truth. You can't trust him. Okay? A person who hates. He says in verse number 26, whose hatred is covered by by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. He hides his hatred by lying, by deceit. And he says, whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. God says in verse 28 that a lying tongue hates those whom he uses that tongue against. There's a hatred in his heart. Folks, listen to me. Can you and I go out here and speak terribly of our brother and lie about our brother? And you know why we do that? God says there's a deep inset there that we don't like. We hate that individual. There's a hatred there that causes us to lie about an individual. We want to see bad come to that individual. That ought not to be, brethren. That ought not to be. We should not want that. We should not desire that. But a lying tongue, God says, he hateth those that it's afflicted by. Look what we're doing to that individual. Look how we're destroying that individual. If we speak untruths about that individual, that lying tongue, God says, we hate that individual. Okay? Folks, be careful. Lying tongues can come because there's hatred in our heart. Not only that, we also see in Proverbs 29, verse 25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Lying tongues come many times because we fear what man will say. We lie because we don't want somebody to think badly of us. A preacher comes up and says to me, Brother Ross, how many are you running? I usually tell them all of them. But anyway, how many are you running? And there's something about, you know, in preachers sometimes. I'm talking about preachers tonight, so you'll get a rest. But anyway, preachers sometimes, you know, they say, they say, you know, they want to be thought of as, boy, I'm doing all right. And they'll give you the biggest number they can give you. If they're trying to tell you the truth, they'll give you the big one. And usually if they ask me that and they really want to know, I will tell them, this is my Sunday morning crowd and this is what we're running. And I'll usually try to make it a little lower so I'll be sure and not overdo it. I mean, I do that. I remember we went to Southwide one time and Brother, you know Brother Gross, Brother Floyd Gross, most of you know him. We were standing around and talking down there with some other preachers. Somebody came up and knew Brother Gross and come up and hugged him and said, how you doing, Brother Gross? You know, and all right. He said, how's your church going? He said, lousy. That guy took a step back. Really? Yeah, he said, it really isn't going very good. He said, we're doing our best, but he said, we've been having some troubles and things are not going like it ought to. You know, there wasn't a preacher around there would have said that. You just ought to listen. You get around to some of those fellowships. How's it going? Oh, tremendous, man. We had a great service. And I'm not saying we ought to look down. And I'm not saying we ought to be negative. I'm not saying that. I'm just simply saying we ought to tell the truth. And at that point, he told the truth. And like to shock that guy half to death. I'm simply saying to you, many times, out of fear of people, we will say something that is not true. Listen to what it said in the book of Isaiah. You don't have to turn there, but listen and I will read it to you in the 57th chapter of Isaiah, verse 11. And of whom, now God was asking this question of Israel, and of whom hast thou been afraid or feared that thou hast lied? Whom, he says, hast thou been afraid or feared that thou hast lied and hast not remembered me? Nor laid it to thy heart. Have not I held up my peace even of old, and thou fearest me not? God says you don't fear me like that. But yet you'll fear an individual to where you'll lie to an individual, but you don't fear me like that. Something in it. And you know what we do? We're so afraid of people sometimes that we'll lie to make them think better of us. Folks, fear of men is a snare that'll grab you. You do not have to fear man. Fear him who can cast body and soul into hell. Fear not what man can do unto you. I'm not talking about being right kind of person. Not talking about doing right, behaving ourselves, doing correctly. I'm saying, don't you have a fear of man that will cause you to do wrong. There are men like you and I. If they are men, they put their britches on one leg at a time like everybody else. And they get up and they walk into the bathroom in the morning and they look at that old sinful face. And they have to wash and take a bath just like everybody else. Amen? They're men. They're flesh. Now, I'm not saying we should not respect men. I'm not saying we ought not to, as the Scriptures do, tell us to honor men. I'm not saying. I'm simply saying, remember, men are men. Men are flesh, but God is God. And He's the one we honor, and He's the one we glory, give glory to. He's the one we praise. He's the only one that is worthy for praise. Amen? None of us is worthy to be praised. God is worthy to be praised and honored. It's a privilege to serve the good and wonderful living God. So we need to realize that there's things like that will cause us to lie because of our fear of mankind. We don't have to be fearful of men. Let's fear God together and serve Him together and love Him together and walk with Him together. Amen. Not only that, over in the book of Colossians, we're going to leave the book of Proverbs for just a few moments and go to the book of Colossians. The third chapter of Colossians. I'm going to start reading in verse number 5. The instructions here are to the Christians and their Christian living. And he says in verse 5, mortify, or in other words, put to death. That's what the word mortify means. Put to death, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, and concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. He said, that's what you used to do. That's what we used to do for salvation. Amen. And he said, but now ye also put off all of these. He says, there's some things that you ought to put off. You're God's child now. You ought to get rid of these things. And one of those, he says, is anger. One of those is wrath. One of those is malice. One of those is blasphemy. One of those is filthy communications out of your mouth. And he also says in verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and having put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. God says there's some things, because we are God's children, we ought to put off. That's the old man. It's the habits of the old man. And do you realize that the habits of the old man is lying? The old man, do you understand? Do you know why your children, you look at your child and you say, why? Did you do that? And they go, you've seen them do that, haven't you? Do you know that's that nature within them? That's that old sin. That's the old man. They're going to do that. Now, I didn't say they should remain to do that. I didn't say they should get by with that. But I'm saying they're going to do it because the old man exists. The old nature is there. So we've got to teach them not to lie. We've got to teach them that God is not pleased with lying. So he says, what does he say? He says, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. What he is really saying in that verse of Scripture, listen, Paul was saying, stop it. I know it's going on. Stop it. You're a new creature now. You're God's child. Quit lying. Quit doing that. Quit being angry. Quit doing all those other things, wrath and malice and blasphemy and filthy communications out of your mouth. Quit your lying. Stop those things. Why? Because you're a new man now. That's a good enough excuse, don't you think? And so the Lord is telling us in His Word, just stop doing those things. Quit it. Why? Because you're God's child. You don't have to lie anymore. Not only do you not have to lie anymore, you should quit your lying. Why? Because we're God's children. It does no good for us to lie one to another, folks. And let me say to you, work hard with your children to get them out of the habit of lying. And that takes work, because there's an old nature in there that wants to lie, that does not want to get in trouble. Amen. I remember back when I was a boy, I tell you what, my daddy was a daddy that when he spanked you, you knew you'd been spanked. I've told you about that. And I mean, he spanked me. I can say today, I love my daddy. I'm so glad my daddy spanked me. I'm so glad he cared enough for me to whip some of that old meanness out of me. But I'm going to tell you what, you lied to my daddy, you had it. I mean, you just didn't do that anymore. You quit that mess. You understand what I'm saying? And I think you, as these little ones grow up, you've got to teach them and train them. You've got to talk to them about it. You've got to make them understand that it's not pleasing to God. And it isn't pleasing to God for them to lie. Amen? And as they grow older, and you got to keep teaching it, you got to get that out of them. You got to keep them working on it, that they will not lie. Because those habits of youth will pass into adulthood. And God is not pleased with lying. Amen. God is not pleased with lying. In fact, let's look for just a moment what God thinks about it. Let's go back to Proverbs, the 6th chapter of Proverbs. Verse 16. Proverbs 6:16. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Those things, God says, there's seven things there that God absolutely hates and is an abomination unto him. And he speaks up there about the lying tongue. He also speaks about the false witness that speaketh lies. He also talks about the person who sows discord among the brethren. And we usually do that with the tongue. Right? Discord is sowed with the tongue. Amen? And God hates it. He wants brethren to live together in unity. He wants this church to have a sweet spirit. of unity, of love for one another and caring for one another. He doesn't want you lying or me lying. Amen? In fact, the Bible says He hates it. Now, look in verse 22 of chapter 12. Again, he talks about lying lips. And he says in verse 22, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight. Now, folks, the word abomination, you're familiar with it. I know you've heard it many times, and there's many things in the Word of God that God calls an abomination. And when God speaks of an abomination, you can be sure that what He's talking about is it's something that's going to bring judgment on that. When God speaks about something as abomination, He means business. He calls homosexuality, we should call it sodomites. And He talks about the abomination it is. Its judgment will come upon it. But God also says that a lying tongue is an abomination to Him. And God says it's serious business. He hates it. It's abomination to Him. He does not like it. And there will be some type of judgment that God will bring against the lying tongue. Now let's look for a few moments, and we'll come back to that subject, but let's look for a few moments on the characteristics of lying. In Proverbs 17, verse 4, a wicked doer giveth heed to false lips, and a liar giveth ear to a naughty tongue. Did you know what a liar would do, God says? God's word says a liar will be in the habit of listening to a naughty tongue or gossip. A liar will want to hear the dirty stories that's passed around. The liar will love it when someone comes up to him and says, did you know about so-and-so? The liar will love that. But you know what we've got to do, and I've said it many times at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and I'm going to continue to preach it. When some gossip comes to you and comes out with some gossipy tale and about somebody else, stop them immediately and say to them, I do not want to hear it. Now, if you've got a problem with so-and-so, let's go. I'll be glad to go with you and we'll get it straight with them. And you'll find out that folk won't come to you anymore with those stories. But that's what God's people have got to do. You've got to stop. You say, Brother Ross, I don't want to hurt so-and-so's feeling. Hurt their feeling. Don't hurt God's feeling. Don't be afraid to stop them short and say, wait a minute, I don't want to hear it. That's a proper and right thing to do. But a lying tongue will want to listen to the naughty tongues of others and hear those stories. And not only hear them, spread them. The Word of God talks in the book of James about it being like an asp under their lips. I've told my people, maybe to help you, when someone comes up to you and starts telling you some story about someone or gossiping about someone, imagine this. Look at them and look at their mouth and imagine a snake going tick. Spitting its venom. Imagine an old flat-headed cobra. And just look at their mouth, and they'll finally say, what are you looking at? And I say, you say, I'm looking at a snake. Man. Oh, you say, Brother Ross, that's terrible. No, it isn't. That's good. It'll stop the foolishness. It'll stop it. You can stop it. If you want to stop it, you can stop it. Amen? Amen? Yes, you can. You can stop it. When folk come to you, know this. The Word of God says that a lying tongue loves to hear a naughty tongue. Amen? In chapter Proverbs 19, chapter 19, verse 22, he says the desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. Folks, God is telling us something here. He said, you know what he's saying? If it takes lying to get ahead in this old world, I mean, if it takes lying to get up on the top notch, I mean, if it takes lying to make you a millionaire, if it takes lying to get you to make a good weekly salary and you have to lie to do it, just be poor. That's what God's saying. If the job you do and the work you do, you have to lie to get it done, then just be poor. For a poor man is better than a liar. Amen? The day comes you have to lie to make your living. Be poor. God will help you. God will take care of you. So the Bible is telling us that a liar is worse than a poor person. In Proverbs 25:14, usually lying comes, many times it comes in the form of boasting. Proverbs 25, verse 14 says, "Whosoever boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain." This proverb is saying, whosoever boasts himself of a gift and he's lying about what gift he gave, he boasted about this gift, and we could use the illustration of Ananias and Sapphira. When they come in chapter 5 of Acts and they said, you know, we sold our place and, well, we gave it all here to the apostles and we want to lay it down here. I mean, you gave it all? Yeah, and Peter said, you just lied to the Holy Ghost. In other words, we're bragging about something we didn't do. Some big gift we gave and we didn't do it. And you know what God is teaching us also in that portion of Scripture? That lying is to God first. And not just to man. They come and told Peter, Peter, we gave all that we sold it for. And he said, you just lied to the Holy Ghost. Lying, first of all, is to God. That's serious business. Amen? Do you know why God did that? To bring fear upon the church. Great fear came upon all the church when Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead and they took them out and buried them. Great fear came upon the church. You know why we need church discipline today? Great fear needs to be brought upon the church. If you do that too, you might get disciplined also. Amen? It should bring great fear upon the church, but most of the time today we don't see any discipline, and when we do, it's very mild, and when we do, usually people don't worry about it and go out and live their lives the way they want to live them anyway. But the purpose of discipline is to bring fear upon the church. Amen. So we find that the characteristic here of lying usually comes in the form of boasting. Look at chapter 27, verse 1 and 2. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We are told, first of all, don't boast about tomorrow. We've all heard sermons from that. Let's don't brag about the fact that we've got tomorrow. We don't know, do we? Not a one of us do. Let's don't brag about that. We can make plans for tomorrow. We can go about our business and make plans. But we will say, as the book of James says, if the Lord will. If the Lord will, we will do this. And so he tells us not to boast ourselves about tomorrow. But look at verse number 2. Let another man praise thee and not thine own mouth, a stranger and not thine own lips. Folks, one of the greatest things that you and I could do is just quit boasting about ourselves. God says in his word, you let another man, if there's going to be any praise of you, you let another man do it. Don't you do it. Don't bring praise upon yourself. Don't brag upon what you have done and all of those things. Don't do that. If there's going to be somebody praise you, let somebody else do the praising. So lying usually comes in the form of boasting. In fact, in the book of Galatians, the 6th chapter, 3rd verse, it says, for if a man think of himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So it's better to let somebody else brag on us and tell the truth than us boast and tell a lie. Amen? All right, let's go back to the book of James for just a few moments. James, the 3rd chapter. This is a chapter, and we're not going to read it all, but this is a chapter most of you know, talking about the tongue. And he has a lot to say about that. But I'm going to start at verse number 5. He even says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a light, a little fire kindleth. Let me read that again. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The word of God is simply saying that the tongue is a very little thing. It's a little member of our body. Very, very small. But it is that member which God has put there to use so we can speak. And God is telling us that the use of the tongue is so important, how carefully we use it, because out from that tongue, and you could read that, behold how great a forest a little fire kindleth. In other words, how much great matter. You know, all it takes is a little match thrown out at the wrong time and a whole forest begins to burn. And God is saying it's the same thing with this tongue. It's just a small member. It doesn't take much. All it takes is just a little bit thrown out and it'll start a fire that'll burn greatly. And he goes on to say in verse 6, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And that speaks of the whole round of existence, our whole life. It sets on fire. And then it says, and it is set on fire of hell. In other words, they got the fire from hell to start it. And that's where it comes from. Can you imagine if we take our tongue and let it be used to start a fire, that we would be reminded of the fact that that fire came from hell? It's a hellish thing. It's a devilish thing that is being started. Boy, isn't our tongues important? Isn't it important how we take care of it? You know, I've told you many times, and preachers sometimes have trouble doing this, especially if he has to preach, but the best place for that tongue is behind those bars with this zipped up. God put it behind bars and a zipper on the lip to help us control it. And you can't speak until you open those bars and open those lips. And when we do speak, you say, Brother Ross, should I not talk? No, when we do, let's use wisdom. Let's speak well. Let's don't start fires with it. Verse number 14 of that, we'll skip down to there instead of going on through all of those. But verse 14 says, but if ye have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. Folks, one of the most difficult things for a Christian today is that there's bitterness that gets built up in your life. And I know there's a lot of things in this old world that can cause bitterness. And I know there's a lot of things that can just hurt. And it can just build and build and build. But one of the worst things, destructive things today in Christian's life is bitterness. Let me share something with you. It will destroy you. Bitterness will literally destroy you. It'll make you unuseful for the work of God. It'll make you miserable in your Christian life. Don't let bitterness get a hold of you. Amen. Get it right with God. Get it out in the open. Get it right with the Lord and just go on and serve God. There's going to be things that hurt, but listen to me. There's not a person on the face of the earth that doesn't have things that hurt. This preacher has them. You have them. Every single person has things that come into their life that hurts and could cause bitterness. But it isn't worth it. It isn't worth it, folks. It'll tear you apart. It'll literally just rip you from one end to the other. And you'll be the most miserable Christian that ever lived on the face of this earth if you let bitterness get a hold of you. Also, let's go over to 1 John just for a few moments. 1 John, first chapter. Let me read verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Lying is something else. Lying is a failure to live what we say we believe. If we say we believe a certain thing and do not live that away, the Bible teaches us that that is lying. Look in 1 John just for a moment, the second chapter, verse 4. He that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandment is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Folks, what would you think about a preacher if I got up here and I preached on the home and I preached on the relationship of a wife and a husband, and I would preach to you and tell you to be kind to your wife, but yet I myself would go home and treat my wife like dirt? You know what I would be doing? I would be living a lie. I would be living a lie. You see, you can lie not only by mouth, but by life. You understand? I would be absolutely living a lie. We have Sunday school teachers here. We have workers in this church that do a certain thing. And I want to tell you something. We gathered together as church, as teachers and workers here the other day, and I sat and looked at them, and I thanked God over and over for every one of them. I'm serious about that. I looked out at that group of people, and I said, you know, God's been so good to us here. He really has been so good to us. I just want to say something to you, though. If you're a teacher, you're a worker in this church, you know there's certain standards that this pastor expects of you. There is dress standards. You know that I expect those who teach, who stand up before people, who work in leadership places, I expect you to dress right, don't I? You know it. Nothing wrong with that. I also told our teachers and our leaders of our church, I told them, I said, you know, if you don't tithe, resign your job. I'm not being mean or hard. Just don't do it. If you don't tithe, you have nothing to teach. Right? And I told him, I said, you know, it's your responsibility to visit and do your best to build your classes and visit your classes and do right. Right? Wouldn't that be proper? Now, if those teachers did not do that, what are they doing? They're living a lie. Amen? My dear friend, we can live a lie. We can act like we're doing this and that, not only talk about it, but we act like we let people think this is what we do. But we live different when we get out of this church. Amen? You see, I'm talking about these workers. I'm talking about these people who stand up in front of these little boys and girls and teach them the things of God. I'm talking about junior church workers. I'm talking about our children's church workers. I'm talking about our song leaders. And I'm talking about the preacher. And I'm talking about the ones that come down the aisle here and helps us here in ushering and things like that. I'm talking about these folk. You know what? You know, they're just certain things we ought to be for Jesus' sake. Amen? We just ought to be that for Jesus' sake, so we can be a better testimony for Jesus Christ. You see, we can lie with our lips, and we can lie with our life. Now, real quickly, go back to the book of Proverbs. I'll give you a couple verses. Chapter 19. Verse 5. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. I simply want to close tonight by saying that there is consequences of lying. This goes for everybody. Amen? The Word of God was not written just for me or just for you individually. It was written for us as God's people. Listen to what he says again. A false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. What God is saying to us is this. There is consequences of lying. We say we can get by with it. No, we never get by with it. There is consequences. There is things that God is going to do about it. Sometimes it's that we get caught up in our lies. Amen? Sometimes people find out we've been lying. Other times, maybe God won't allow that to be showed here, but someday when we stand before God, there will be consequences for lying. As a child of God, we can lose rewards. God says they will not escape. When God says something, he means something. Look at Proverbs 19:9, same thing. False witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall perish. He even says here that they perish. Lies can even bring death, even to the Christian. It's because it's sin that is unforgiven, uncleansed, and we refuse to turn from it. Lies is serious business. And I simply want you to understand that God is serious about lying. Folks, I don't know what your habits are. I don't know what you do. But please don't be a liar. Tell the truth. Speak the truth. You say, Brother Ross, that hurts sometimes, and sometimes it might get me in trouble. Speak the truth. Or don't speak. Amen? Speak the truth. Be a truthful person. You know, back in one of the verses of Scripture, it said that the truthful person is a delight unto the Lord. God is pleased when people are truthful. Amen? Now, we're living in a day, listen to me, we're living in a day when lies is accepted in most circles. But it should not be accepted in Christian circles, in the church. Amen? Let's just be truthful with each other. Amen? We don't have to lie to each other. Thus, just be truthful. Stop and think. Sometimes you don't have to answer. Train your children to not lie. Work on that. That takes time. I understand it. But train them, help them, because adulthood is coming, and the habits of childhood will pass over into adulthood. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you for the wonderful word of God. I thank you tonight, Lord, for this subject that you've allowed us to preach on. And Father, I certainly pray tonight, help this preacher to be a truthful preacher, to tell the truth at all times, to live honestly before people. And I pray for our people tonight. I pray for them also, Lord, to be a truthful people, to live honestly before each other, that we might please thee. In Jesus' name, amen.